Howdy, and welcome to episode 34 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for people in Fairview, Tennessee, and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show released every Wednesday featuring stories that aim to inform and inspire. Local radio stations and newspapers don't exist in small towns like ours, so we'll use Hello Fairview to fill that void with news related to Fairview. This is a value for value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on the value you receive. This concept was founded by the podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host, John C. Dvorak of the No Agenda Show over 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one-man operation, so if you have any ideas, events, business opportunities, job openings, please don't hesitate to let me know. Use the contact form on the website, and we'll work to get those into the next updates into the next episode. You are producer of the show. You are not the product because your time and attention are not being sold to advertisers for their value. Some shows will be longer. Some will be shorter. Always try to do my best to keep things relevant. Traffic time. Well, it's definitely still construction busy, where you can wait now about every 5 to 15 minutes since school's out to be able to make a left or right turn on Highway 100 from Old Cox to the rec center. The sidewalk project from Bowie Park to the rec center is waiting on the utility relocation to be done. They sent some updates about that on TDOT on the website from Facebook page on Fairview. The Cumberland 100 intersection got some more grading work done towards the middle school, which I guess will eventually fix the lake. And then there's been some work done towards the schools on 100 and the widening of the actual road where that culvert's at. And then there's been some work done further down toward Tractor Supply Co. and where Ace Hardware is and all that. The road closures have kind of been all over the place from Bowie to the rec center. So there's still many days where there are two lane closures on the same road. And now that school's out, I hope this will change the turning time a little bit. But so far it's been about the same, a little bit less. It's truly a matter of luck of the draw if there's a lane closure and on which part of Highway 100 every day. There was also traffic sensors that have been run at the city center red light as they prepare, I guess, to start installing the full control boxes, and maybe that's going to start happening now. Red light update. We still currently have 5, Old Cox, Publix, Walmart, and the 2 at I-40. Just like I said, the city center entrance is getting something. Their traffic sensors have been cut into the road, and the Cumberland 100 will eventually be there. We'll see how that goes with that, and we'll have to see if this actually hurts or helps as that goes through there. City Center, the mountain of dirt is basically gone now, and the main road is paved, and they've actually had pavers back out there again. And so I've seen some people actually cut through there where they've turned right into there and then eventually came back out at the town hall. So we'll see how that's going. And so there was traffic counters on the road where I guess they were doing traffic study for that. And so those have already been ran out now. All right, city news. Well, we've talked about this last show, but both ERs were approved. There was a hearing at the 27th at the Cordell building where it was a unanimous 8-0 vote. This vote voted yes for the Ascension facility, which is across from Volunteer Pools at 1866 Highway 96, and HCA, which is across from the entrance of Bowie Park at 2273 Fairview Boulevard facilities. These two facilities are just 2 miles apart. And one thing that I've seen over the years is I'm sure both of them will require red lights, which will increase the travel time to all of us. The one at Bowie Park may be welcomed because there's always been a tough time getting in and out of there. But at Volunteer Pools, then that's just going to cause traffic to back up to the, you know, Girls and Boys Club and all that. So I think it's going to be a little harder for that one to work up. If our red lights were actually synchronized throughout the city, then that could help. But they're all independently, so then sometimes you're going to get held up by one and then basically just hit the domino of red lights. And so I don't know how this is going to work. So basically, you know, if you're in this new scenario, if you're injured on the Bowie Park side of Fairview, then you'll go to the HCA facility. And if you're hurt on the public side, then you'll go to the Ascension facility. Two of these in the same city, it seems to be something that is a 100% anomaly that I've not been able to find in another city. And so this is very, very interesting for us. And so this is the only place I know of, at least Williamson County and other, where there's two freestanding ERs outside of the metro area. The TriStar ER is only 17 miles away from the Natchez ER, or 20 minutes, and the Ascension will be 19 miles or 30 minutes away from the Ascension West facility. So both of these are not that far away. So, you know, Ascension has 10 rooms, HCA or TriStar has 11 rooms. So we'll see how this goes. I think, you know, we've talked about this facility for, you know, a couple shows. But, you know, the Ascension with the, its partnership with DMA and possibly having some orthopedic or oncologist and stuff like that, could be really good. So that people don't have to go all the way into town for there versus just having another ER. And why I say that a lot about the when we go back to the red lights is that you have to have a right of way for those ambulances to come in and out of those facilities. And so that's going to be part of that and then the traffic associated with that. And do we have enough injuries to fill up that ER? So if everybody was going to Pace, for example, for their runny noses and all that, are they now going to go to these facilities for those types of, you know, flu-like symptoms and stuff like that instead of Pace Urgent Care? What will that do to even Pace Urgent Care? We will have to see, but it's going to be interesting. And part of city news is there's a firefighter position opened, and they're also still looking for volunteers and citizens to serve on the following boards: Planning Commission, Board of Zoning Appeals, and Parks and Landscape Board. To obtain the application, you must visit City Hall, and then all applicants must approve proof of residency and voter registration completed forms from there. So you have to live in the city for those too. This link is in there. And there's also the link that they posted originally on their Facebook post did not work. And since we don't have comments the same way, we can't even notify them of that. So we had to send them an email. So their decision to turn off comments on every post is not helping them in some of these instances. But we've got a link there. And then we also updated the link of that voting district map so you can see that. But obviously, right now, we're in the month of June, so we're getting ready for the July 3rd, 4th of July celebration, the 250th birthday of America, and that's where Rubik's Groove is going to be there, School of Rock, Nashville, Brian Ree, and Kobe Oakley, and all that starts at 2:30 is the first performance and goes all the way to 7 p.m. before the fireworks launch, so that's going to be good. Houses. Homes for sale. There is 244 homes from sale from 234 since last week. And the highs and lows are basically the same. There's still a $3.9 million house. And now there is a $240,000 house, which was a $248,000 house just a couple weeks ago, that is a townhome. So you got there. And then in this period, May 4th through 8th, there was 19 homes sold, with the most expensive being $1,031,000, and the next was $113,000. And then in May 11th through 15th, there was 8 homes sold, with the most expensive being $939,000, with the cheapest being $339,000, bringing the average for the first period $529,603. And since December of 2024, we have had 644 homes sold, with the most expensive being $7.8 million, the cheapest being $13,000, and our average is still above $650,000 at $672,000. So we will see that keep cooking along there. Town meetings. Well, there was no Board of Zone of Appeals. There was no planning commission, but there was a Board of Commissioners meeting on May 21st, and there's also one coming up soon. But when we look at that, citizen comments, nothing too crazy there. And then as we got into all the staff reports, city manager report, all that was rocking and rolling there. And then so when we get to old business, this was the first one was to approve the Adams Preserve subdivision with the city engineer, which was resolution 6225. And that passed 5-0 with really no questions or comments. Resolution 2426, which was related to the police training facility, that was a vote passed 5-0. There was a lot of discussion between multiple members about budget cuts and the adjusted quotes. The police chief discussed how some of the training possibilities, even with some of the items cut, They're basically cutting items that they didn't need day one to start training and that they could add at a later date, and that they will allow other agencies upon approval to train there, because we want to help get help from them in the future and the reciprocity of that. And we're not going to charge them. There was also questions of we were going to charge people to come and go from there. And so we've got that, and I have the details there in the show notes here. And so basically Fellowship Construction Inc., plumbing is Hall and Sons, HVAC is United Mechanical, electrical is AIS Electrical, masonry is NA, it's $100,000, and the cost is $1.165776 million. The number of days to achieve substantial completion is 210 days from when this contract is submitted. And so November 13th of 2026 is when they think that that's going to be done, and when the final payment is going to be due is December 14th. And the funding details. So basically, we've got the site grading at $481,000, utilities run $296,000, the field house, which is the training room, all that stuff, which is good, is $519,000. So basically, to get those three items is $1.296 million. Then they were removing the fence, which was $59,000. The way the roof is set was going to be set up with a more expensive roof was $38,000. Erosion control, we're going to remove that, $21,000. Alternate lighting package, $12,500. So $130,000 in savings. And so basically, we're at $1.165 million instead of $1.296 million. We've got all the exhibits in there. And from that, you can see that, you know, what they pulled back from the storage shed and the range tower and all that. So you got $132,000 for surfacing, $120,000 for a storage shed. And they brought this up that that's kind of crazy. $98,000 for the tower shed and $36,480 for the tower. And the next exhibit shows them removing all the stuff there and basically going from a $24,000 by going to a lower gauge roof and then removing some of the other stuff for the lighting packages. And so then our next one was our budget meeting, and this was just a amended. So there was a couple comments about there were some minor corrections, still waiting on the storm cleanup, which is really amazing to me that here we are in the month, the end of May for this meeting, and we still don't know when we're going to get the invoices for all that storm collection based on the amount of money that we had to even get a bond for to do all this. So it's pretty wild. So I guess we're going to get it eventually. But one of the things are there was a couple decreases in the budget, basically $400 to the BOC, $79,000 for admin costs, $4,200 to court, $1,700 to finance, $90,149 in planning, $79,100 for a bond fund balance, and $320,000 to the park, to the parks. And the parks was to pay for some of the stuff for the cleanup. And a couple increases, we had $57,000 for the police, $1.1 million for the fire, which I'm guessing is the exact amount for the fire truck, and the $57,000 for the next position, $23,300 for a public works something, $61,000 for admin, and $285,000 in planning. So they removed $90,000 but added that back and more. And then $52,000 for fire, so another firefighter position in there too. So basically another firefighter position, the fire truck, and a new police officer. In new business, 2826, this was to give a right-of-way easement at Northeast Highway. For that, we put the map up there. Or Northwest Highway, sorry, I always do that. And basically, you got a little thing there, and basically, they're trying to get the easement so they can run the power the way they need to, and that's where the kink is, where the single-lane bridge is, and how they're trying to put three-phase power over there for the new Station 31 fire station that will eventually be on that side of town. And then Resolution 2926, pretty much no major discussions here. This was the site agreement for Casey's General Store, which is going to be at the end of Old Cox and 100, where that little like orange yellowish house is. And one thing that's interesting to see when you look at some of these site agreements, this is when you're going to see how much money the developer is paying the city in a reclamation bond. And so for this particular one, this was $373,311 for that. So the rest of the document kind of just shows the references and the rules that they're going to do for site inspections, basically saying we'll let you inspect our site as we're building it. But this is, you know, a $373,000 tax to them, and that revenue comes in there. Resolution 3026 passed 5-0. One of the things they talked about is the name of this development has changed quite a few times, at least three, and this is for 45 homes. And this one, their reclamation bond is $514,000. And the same kind of thing there, where they're doing that. And the another one is prior to the recording of the final plat for this enclave subdivision, the project shall require a performance bond of $2.2 million in accordance with the approved development plan of that. So they're paying $514,000 and then have to get a $2.2 million bond, which is, you know, insurance in that sense. And so the rest of the document just references that they're going to be good stewards of this. Resolution 3126 passed 5-0. This was a development agreement contract for Clearcrest subdivision, which is there, and they're paying $278,000 in their reclamation bond. So between these three projects, in one meeting, we had almost $1 million in reclamation bonds that I guess we'll be able to go to the general budget. I'd love to get some details on that and have to do some more research. Then the next new business was 2026-09, this past 5-0. Mayor Reel discussed the changes, and this was all related to the budget, and that there is a big budget shortfall, and that they have discussed some cuts, but also a 19-cent property tax raise would cover it exactly, and a 25-cent increase would help them cover into the next budget year. Apparently, we have not been doing some maintenance on our fleet, which is our fire trucks, public works vehicles, and police vehicles, but I know we also just got some brand new vehicles not too long ago, so that's kind of a head scratcher for me. And we'll get back to that and hopefully get back on the back on track of that. Vice Mayor McDonald suggested we had a work session before the next meeting, which is this week, to go over things so they can summarize some of those deltas before they have to have a meeting and actually make a decision. Commissioner Roberts noted that there were budgeted increases for city staff increases, and that's due for 2017 ordinance that must be implemented. So it must be done through raises or cuts. So that means they can't take away the raises of city employees, because in 2017 we passed ordinance that every so many years you must have a raise. And so that means we have to get to this budget shortfall by cutting things or raising tax revenue. Commissioner Roberts agreed that then suggested that we understand the financial impact, and they gave some examples. So this 25-cent increase for a $250,000 house is $156. $500K is $312.50. $750K is $468.75. And $1 million would be $625 more per year. And the 19 cents, you know, they talked about that again, that if they make that change, then they would just probably be back here next year to raise it again. And just as a reminder, Fairview City taxes are the most expensive in Williamson County. And out of 304 city taxes, they are 216th in property taxes. We are at 0.5904. And 7804, if we increase the 19 cents, we'll be 166 position. And if we go all the way to the 25 cents, we'll be at 0.8404 to 150. So we will be in the top, basically in the top half of all city taxes in the whole state of Tennessee. And people forget when it's small numbers times big numbers, as in the value of your house times this number, and how big a change that is. So adding that 19 cents is a 32% increase. and adding 0.25%, 0.25, 25 cents is a 42% increase. So this is in there. I've also got a link to the comptroller so you can see the tax rates for the whole state and the cities there. There's also discussions from City Hall about if we were staffed at the proper levels, and that basically we said that there are things that we could fill, but some of these things will wait till the second half of the year, which is that July 1st. They also talked about when the next workshop could be, and they were going to have some time to digest it. And so one of the things that I posted in here in the simple terms of the budget is that taxes have increased from $828,000 to $877,000. License and permits have been $1.1 million and to $1.2 million, so a slight increase there. Fines and fees, $261,000 to $268,000. Intergovernmental is $1.4 million to $1.54 million. And other revenue was $681,000 to $520,000. And I would love to be able to see what that is. And so total cash was, you know, 117 in there. So real interesting. I wish they would actually put a spreadsheet on here instead of a scanned PDF so that it was actually searchable. Basically had to hand transpose all that stuff over. And then as they wrap that meeting up, Commissioner Hall said, thanks to you all. Commissioner Buffalini, thanks to you all and the kids. Have a happy summer. Commissioner Buffalini, Ethan Grillo will miss you and our city will too. But and thanks for all you've done and good luck with the state of Tennessee. Thanks to Mayor Rial for all the things he's done and all the good meetings. And thanks for traffic being a little less busy, which is great. And I agree. Vice Mayor McDonald, thank you to Mayor Rial. And jumping in on this budget, and it was definitely tough, and helping out with Mr. Knox, and best of luck to Mr. Greer. And thanks to all the kids that get to go up to the next grade, and his youngest is officially headed to middle school. Mayor Anderson, thank you, Mr. Greer, for all you've done. And then in a very interesting turn here, Mr. Greer, he wanted to thank everyone and their team for their help. Thanks for so much, person, for all the things they do and their support and their help and understanding things and help make the best choices in future for the city. Mayor, thank you for supporting our team. You go above and beyond your duty. And then this is where the surprise comes in. Commissioner Buffalini was called out for making his staff look incompetent by overcommitting the city without first obtaining the necessary information. You have asked employees to go against direct orders from their supervisors. Time and time again, you have refused to listen to city staff regarding the dissemination of public information, and you have shown lack of lack of care for my city, which is who you are and not who we are. And this was just after, you know, Mr. Buffalini had thanked Mr. Greer for his time and service, and he hopes to see him around since he just lives down the street from him. Mayor Anderson closed out with a thank you for your service and a round of applause for Mr. Greer and everything he's done for the city. I wish everyone a happy Memorial Day weekend, which is counterintuitive. We should, you know, but she did add it there too. And those who gave it all, and that's why we have this. So she did a good job of echoing that back. Congratulations to all the graduates. And she's so excited to see what these amazing young people will do. And she's excited to be there at that commencement. And then the meeting was adjourned. And so our next Board of Commissioners meeting is July 30th. We already had a Parks and Landscape Board this week on June 1st. So the next one will be in July. Around Town Coffee is June 10th. And I don't think the location's been listed yet on the website that I've seen when I was checking it. The state of Tennessee. Well, a panel of Tennessee judges will soon decide whether the state's General Assembly overstepped its authority when members repealed a law preventing mid-decade redistricting changes for the 2026 congressional election during a special election period. The NAACP conference and Project Gloria Sweet Love and others filed a lawsuit to halt Section 2. The impact, while not explicitly overturning Section 2 of the VRA, Voting Rights Act, the ruling makes it harder to prove violations, requiring evidence that the states intentionally used race in a way that violates the 14th Amendment and the Equal Protection Clause. And then we found this link today, and this is the redistricting research. I think it stands out if you know. And this is Senate Bill 1909, introduced and removes a conviction for domestic assault from the definition of a violent offender for purposes of drug treatment courts, changes the definition to a violent offender for purposes of drug treatment courts from an offender with conviction with an offense involving certain acts to an offender with conviction of a felony offense involving certain acts in the previous 10 years. So this amends TCA Title 16 and Chapter 22. So changing the definition of that. And that's a good link that I have in the show notes there that will show you when those things get approved in our state house. Our new representative that is in charge of us now, since we have been moved to District 5 from 7, is in the news, which isn't good. But U.S. taxpayers are footing the bill for $59,000 for airtime by the new ad that U.S. Randy Ogles, as he faces a primary challenge in the Agricultural Commission by Charlie Hatcher in August. So this is something that's not out of the ordinary, because there have been previous cases and where they are allowed under our Tennessee laws to use that funding for that, taxpayer funding for that, because it's the same there. It's just, I think, almost a money shuffle, but it doesn't look good as this is our new representative. The Department of Revenue just posted two notices on their website, and basically one of the things that they did is a notice 26, proof of citizenship or lawful presence required for motor vehicle registration, and that 2616 updates to vehicle financial responsibility requirements, as in you've got to prove that you're a citizen to register vehicles in here, and then you have to prove that you have financial responsibility on the vehicle. And I guess that also kind of comes back to insurance and uninsured motorist and all that kind of stuff. Centennial High School in our county made the national news with pictures and videos of people out in the soaking rain. Lots of videos were posted of that. There was even parents that went out onto the field and put an umbrella over their kids, and others just sat out there in the rain. And I thought this was pretty funny. And remember, this is always in journalism, and especially when they're editing things, you're always going to hear this. And so this is where, if you interview 10 people in the street for a topic, you may have 6 people that support and see 4 people that dissent, or vice versa. And this is basically the same thing. When News 2 spoke with a couple people, they said one of them said that it wasn't a big deal and they had a blast. Other people monitored this was the best graduation ever. And another one said it was a lot more memorable and fun with each other. And another person, there was no way one of the parents said there was no way these kids wanted to split to go indoors to have half of them do a ceremony and the other half do a ceremony there. We've got the link there too. And we know, you know, the rain made Thursday night's graduation at Centennial. This is their public comment here. Franklin and Centennial and Franklin challenging. We appreciate the patience of our family. Each year, many of our students choose to hold ceremonies on our football fields because students and families have shared how meaningful it is to celebrate this milestone on campus and allows more loved ones to attend based on the forecast and the radar. We expected to complete Thursday night ceremonies at Centennial, Franklin, and Franklin before the next wave of rain began, but unfortunately, the changing conditions brought the rain during the events. While the rain impacted those two ceremonies, it did not diminish our pride in Centennial and Franklin graduates. And so even in Fairview, they had to make the decision of going inside, outside, and that always is going to be a very tough judgment call because people, we can't fit as many people in our in our gyms than we can in our fields. And that's just a law of physics there. The Bills. Nothing is going on here. They pretty much seems like they took the summer off. And I went ahead and put a link in here related to our double trouble of our two ERs getting approved. And so you can deep dive into there. There was no agendas posted, so we'll see that. How's the hill? Well, it's definitely passable. It's been a rainy one for the past couple of weeks. Even with almost 7 inches of rain in the past 2 weeks, we're still behind a little bit in our drought. We're still in a D1 moderate drought for Williamson County. And we're back to warm in warm days and not really chilly nights. The weather guessers are predicting 82 to 86 for the highs and lows of 56 to 71. And I also added a link for the rainfall map from the TVA and the drought.gov for Williamson County so you can see that. New businesses. Nothing new spotted. And basically... The 1890 Golf Club is getting closer. They had a Facebook post. The Unity Chiropractic looks like it's to be open now. There are a couple of properties still for sale. There's still three for sale and three for lease in our facility. We've got the link of that in the show notes. The farmer's market is still there, so make sure every weekend you're heading to the farmer's market every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Messick Chiropractic and Fairview Fresh Deli Donuts, located across the road from Publix. There are many good places to get breads, treats, local beef, pork, milk, yogurt, local fruits and vegetables, hot sauces, fishing lures, and many other gifts all the time. And our brick and mortar highlight has to be the new Ice Hardware. We have been talking about that for, I guess, a couple months. And Murphy's Ace Hardware is open. And this new place is where definitely where you're going to go to get the things. If you need a grill, they stock Weber, Traeger, and Green Egg. And they carry steel chainsaws and other lawn tools. And if you are a big power tool person, they have a huge selection of DeWalt and Milwaukee. They have most home repair items, and their garden section is continuing to grow. They were still putting it out last week. They had a popcorn machine set out at checkout, which was really cool, and the staff was all there and eager to help, which is good to go on opening day. And I went back a couple days after just to kind of see how it was. And I definitely suggest walking around there, go up and down all the aisles, because that could save you a trip to Dixon, Bellevue, or Franklin for some of those other big box stores. I do wish they had a small lumber selection, but they have a ton of things there, so it's going to keep people rolling. They're not on the main Ace Hardware website yet, so maybe they have to wait a week or two, or I don't know. But they are open, and the Murphy brothers just keep doing more good for this town. They are currently the owners of the Food Saver at the intersection of Cox and 100. They support this community in so many ways. Through all their donations and support of teams and everything along the way. And, you know, they support our town, so we should support them in this new opportunity. And it's great. Job openings. Well, we're still at 47 from 47, so there hasn't been any positions taken down. There's still a city planner position, a police officer, the firefighter position. Ace Hardware had a couple things. Looks like it's done, but basically that just got washed out with our firefighter position. So that's why the number is the same. So if you need a job, basically any business that has a storefront, it pretty much has a job. But then there's other jobs like UtiliQuest and a couple others that you don't see. Brookside Properties, Covenant Primary Care, Iron Lion Entries. There's a couple others that are in here. That you don't have, they don't have stores that you see, but there are jobs here in Fairview every single week. And this list has grown to I think this is the highest it's been at 47. And it doesn't seem like it's shrinking anymore. And if you have any other job postings, don't feel just use the contact form on the website if you don't have it posted on Indeed. And we'll get it on there. History nugget. Well, you know, this was the Memorial Day episode. This is a federal holiday held the last Monday in May. It's the nation's foremost annual day to mourn and honor the deceased of servicemen and women. Originally called Decoration Day from the early tradition of decorating graves with flowers, wreaths, and flags. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance for those who've died in service for our country. It was widely observed on May 30th, 1868, to commemorate the sacrifices of the Civil War soldiers by proclamation of General John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, and organization of former Union soldiers and sailors and soldiers. During this first national commemoration, former Union General and sitting Ohio Congressman James Garfield made a speech in Arlington National Cemetery, after which 5,000 participants helped decorate the graves of more than 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers who were buried there. This national event is galvanized by our efforts to honor and remember those fallen soldiers that began with local observances at burial grounds in several towns throughout the United States following the end of the Civil War, such as May 1st, 1865, a gathering in Charleston, South Carolina, organized by freed slaves to pay tribute and give proper burial to Union troops. In 1873, New York was the first state to designate Memorial Day as a legal holiday. By the late 1800s, many more cities and communities observed Memorial Day, and several states had declared it a legal holiday. After World War I, it became an occasion for honoring those who died across all American wars and was later more widely established as a national holiday throughout the United States. But in 1971, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established that Memorial Day would be observed on the last Monday of the month of May. Memorial Day is commemorated at the Arlington National Cemetery with a ceremony and small American flag is placed on each grave. Traditionally, the president or vice president will lay wreaths at the tomb of the unknown soldier. The GAR, which is that Grand Old Army of the Republic order, placed a ceremonial observation on May 30th to ensure the availability of the choicest flowers of springtime all over the country. In observance, no other form or ceremony is prescribed, but posts that comrades will pay their own arranged fitting services and testimonials in respect to circumstances as they permit. Typical programs posts include ceremonies that are punctured by putting flags up, prayer in there. So I know like Scouting America and a couple other veteran organizations go all over Middle Tennessee, especially, and all over the United States as a whole to make sure they've placed flags on headstones of veteran cemeteries. So there's always a good chunk of that. So there's a lot of good history there. And we are thankful for everyone's sacrifice for this great country. And, you know, we want to have a day of remembrance on this Memorial Day. Upcoming events. Well, recap, school is wrapped. So with many sports, I wish there was a better way to keep up to date with this. I'll try to reach out to some of the coaches as we come into next year to try to get this done. Cause many things end up on their calendar from Williamson County Schools. But I know there's a lot more teams and activities going on, and I want people to be able to know where to go to support our young people. And I also think it's important for those teams to have a place to post their school records, playoffs, and championships so that we have a board of call it pride. And maybe I can work with the city of Fairview to actually put it on the website there, which I think would be good. Next new event coming up is the Fishing Rodeo at Veterans Park. This is on June 6th from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. And this is where you bring your fishing stuff. Lunch will be provided by the TWRA. Door prizes will be awarded. You'll probably see the scouts there and probably a couple other veteran organizations at the Fishing Rodeo. So definitely go check that out. Future events is basically we got the July 3rd celebration of 4th of July, 250th year anniversary. So this is the big one. And then August 1st, we're the back to school city bash at City Hall. Nature Fest is September 19th. Fall Fun Day is October 10th. Trunk or Treat is October 24th. December Tree Lighting event is December 4th. And the Christmas Parade should be December 5th or Rain Day on the 12th. Voting season's about to come up in the next couple months. We'll have early voting for the state primary and county general, and that starts on August 6th. So we will start seeing some of that early voting July 17th through August 1st, and that'll start happening soon. For the kids, well, there's still tons of activities to do in Fairview to keep your kids engaged. There are cheer programs, recreational teams for baseball, basketball, softball, football, and much more. There's a thriving Girl Scout and Scouting America program here in Fairview. If you have a homeschooler, make sure you're always checking out the Bowie Park schedule for the clubs that meet there. If you have kids who are interested in dance, gymnastics, or cheer, please check out Lala's Dance Studio and Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer. Vigilance Martial Arts is our local taekwondo and jiu-jitsu school that teaches way more than just moves. The Fairview Jacket Youth Wrestling Program is another great option, and it has produced some state champions and college scholarship recipients, and has also offered some cool summer programs too. I know there's a couple people going to this, to the Yay Camp at Independence High School. Sign-up ends next week by June 15th, and this is July 6th through 10th, and this is 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and this is for K through 8th graders, so really fun thing there. School news, well, no news for the Hawk and Tigers, no news for the Falcon news, and no news for the Jacket news, because we stayed out of the news by moving our graduation inside from the rain. This is a tough call, just like we talked about in the State of Tennessee segment, where, you know, you don't have as much seating capacity and there's a number of tickets that are sold and given out that doesn't align with the actual capacity. And we still have to keep it safe, fire marshals, all that kind of stuff, too. So it was really good to see that. And we're excited to see all the students have a lot of fun this summer and come back next year recharged and ready to do that next grade. Faith moment. I wanted to go back to a quick faith moment. I have a couple sermons and clips that I'm thinking about for next week, and I'm always listening and learning and trying to figure out what's a good one. But this one I just wanted to do because we had a longer Board of Commissioners segment. But in this one, we have Mr. Herbert Hoover, our 31st president. And I thought this was good. The whole inspiration of our civilization springs from the teachings of Christ and the lessons of the prophets. To read the Bible for these fundamentals is a necessity of American life. This goes back to what we've talked about with the Founders Bible and things like that, and how our country was founded on this Christian principles. I think it's just important that we echo that and that people are aware of that. Donations. Well, on the donation front, nothing new from Fountain. Still need to set up some of the other stuff from there. But other than that, as we're wrapping up here, looks like we're right at the 40-minute mark. If you have any, you know, thank you. If you found this podcast helpful, thank you. Please support the show with your time, talents, and treasure. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please share it with us with that contact form. You're a producer of the show. You're spending your time listening to the show and learning some things about Fairview, Tennessee, our state. Share your talent and your skills and knowledge and help the city of in the show for Fairview. Let us know. With your treasure, you're receiving this product completely free without any paid advertising. You're getting truly local news. And if that's worth something, please consider supporting us financially for the Value for Value system so that we can do more. Summer is going to be tougher to schedule with kid events and camps, but I'll do my best to keep things rolling. Please follow us on social media and at hellofairview.com, because a lot more things are coming, and y'all have a great day and a great week. Thank y'all.